Good evening. Welcome. Appreciate everyone being here. Sunday, April 3rd, 2022. Anybody remember what happened that day? April 3rd, 2022, Sunday morning. Okay, so we had our spring gospel meeting going on. Dan Jenkins was here, and the title of his sermon that morning, if you remember, was Skinny Birds and Starving Fish. Remember? I was disappointed because it was such a great lesson, and it was my topic. So, on the providence of God. So, we've been studying from Matthew, Sermon on the Mount. I wasn't disappointed. It was an awesome lesson, but I was sitting there thinking, how can I top that? But if most of y'all forgot it already, it's good. So, what we cover tonight hopefully will be beneficial, and it's a great topic that's sometimes gets misinterpreted, the providence of God. We try to assign providence to things as we see them happen and want to give credit sometimes where credit isn't due, or we don't give credit where credit is due because we try to figure out whether it was God's providence or not. So we're going to get into that tonight. We're going to talk about, obviously the text is from Matthew 6, and it's we'll read those verses here in a little bit if you want to go ahead and be turning over to Matthew 6. But in the Sermon on the Mount, clearly Jesus talks about how God takes care of us. And to the degree that there are some requirements on our part that we actually have the opportunity to be taken care of a little bit better than those who don't believe in him or who aren't following him. So I'm going to read the full context. We'll start in verse 25, talking about not to worry, but we'll go through all the way through 34. So if you want to follow along with me, Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. So, he clearly takes care of his own. And we'll break it down. We'll do the typical, you know, what does the word mean? What's the origin of providence and those kind of things. But Jesus clearly demonstrated for us that God is going to take care of his creation. Not just us as Christians, we'll talk about that as well, but he set things in motion. He's created a design that's so complex and so perfect in its origin that man has spent years, time, effort, and money to try to disprove that it was created, number one, that it just happened. But the things that have happened in the world over the years demonstrates, and to me, how he built a system that is almost, it's self-sufficient, right? Think about, he's created the rain, he's created the grass, the things that grow. He's created such that, who all remembers the Exxon Valdez? The big spill Everyone said that would never, that was going to destroy the waters forever. And it wasn't too long after that happened that it's good, clean water now. It's amazing how the earth has been able to survive all the things that we do to it. And be careful how I say this. I'm not one of those people that thinks we should preserve everything and don't throw anything away. I don't slow down at exits where there's a lot of trees and hug them as I go by. But I do care about the environment, and we all should. But God has built a unique system that's really unbelievable at how it is resilient. And there are fires, there are floods, there are things that happen. And it's almost like a cleansing, unfortunate cleansing process that it comes back stronger, bigger, and better, and more beautiful. So it takes time. But he created something and put things in place that shows that he cared and was going to take care of it. So let's talk about the word that's used in the Bible for providence. The Greek word. Wayne raised his head when I said the Greek word. Isn't it funny how we always go back, what's the origin of the word? And what is the word? And then we joke about how to pronounce it. So last night, I had my 2-year-old granddaughter at the house spend the night with us. And I had her pronouncing it. And I got to tell you, it was pretty interesting. So I'm gonna let you hear it, if you can hear this.
Pronia.
Did I say that right? You don't know, do you? I'm going to say it again.
Pronia.
It's spelled P-R-O-N-I-A. P-R-O-N-O-I-A. Pronounced Pronia. And I said it wrong again. But she was saying it over and over last night. She didn't know what she was saying. But the Greek word that's translated in the scripture that we read is that, pronia. And it means to foresee or to have foresight. The foresight with something planned at the end of it. So if you look at the Bible that we have from Genesis to Revelation, isn't it one giant vision from our Heavenly Father with a plan? The foresight to create us in His image for a purpose, to serve Him, but also knowing who we are, knowing what He had created, provided a way for us to be able to become His children forever if we chose to serve Him. So, from the very beginning, it's important for us to recognize that, and we'll talk about the word more, but it means to have foresight or provision. In Acts 24, verse 2, if you want to turn over there, it's where it was used. It was translated 24 and verse 2. This is when Paul was being brought before Felix. And they called upon a great orator, Tertullus. And when he was called upon, Tertullus began his accusation, saying, "Seeing that through you we enjoy great peace and prosperity is being brought to this nation by your foresight." He's being very complimentary to Felix, saying, "Your foresight has created all this opportunity for us as a nation," leading up to the things he was going to say bad about Paul. But the same Greek word was used there. And then if you go over to Romans chapter 13. Verse 14. "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." It's translated provision there. So when you talk about the providence of God, you can't help but understand that it's about the forethought and the foresight to imply an end. As I mentioned, Genesis to Revelation is the roadmap for God's provision for us to provide for us. So when you talk about His providence, there's two levels or two types or two grades or however you want to describe it. There's general providence that He set in motion that we're going to talk about first. And it's the widespread care and supervision that He has put in the universe, right? Everybody gets treated the same way. He's put these laws in motion that allow us to be able to be taken care of by the things that he's set in motion. He set things in motion to take care of the natural world, the animal world, and then obviously the general affairs of men. So turn over to Psalms with me. We're going to read several passages from Psalms. Psalms 104, verse 14. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth. Then go to Psalm 135. See if you can turn pages as fast as I can push buttons. 135, verses 5 through 7. For I know that the Lord is great, and our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all deep places. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. And then Acts 14, back to the New Testament. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. So he set things in motion naturally that would allow us to be able to sustain ourselves, right? So I know that's not shocking news to all of us, but when you talk about the providence of God, we're going to look at it from a general standpoint, and then we'll get more specific about what he's promised us as Christians. Back to Psalms 104 again, keeping you hopping. Stay with me. Do what? You're good? Psalm 104, 21 through 29. We're leaving the natural world, and now we're going to the lions and the animals, lions and tigers and bears. That's where you say, oh my. 21 through 29. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. When the sun rises, they gather together and they lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. This is great and wide sea in which are innumerable teeming things, living things both small and great. Ships sail about. There's that Leviathan which you have made to play there. These all wait for you that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, they're filled with good. You hide your face, they're troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to dust. He's put things in place to take care of the animal world. Matthew 6, 26. We just read that a minute ago. Birds of the air, neither sow nor reap, yet nor gather into barns, but they're there and they're taken care of. Matthew 10, 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? So, evidence in Scripture that he's put general providence in place to take care of the naturalness of the environment, the animal world, and then the affairs of men in general. Let's go to Job chapter 12. When I talk about the affairs of men in general, there's not a leader in place in this world right now that God has not allowed to be in place. For whatever reason, bigger plans, smaller plans, there is a plan. Job 12, 23. He makes nations great and he destroys them. He enlarges nations and guides them. The affairs of men in general. Daniel 2. Verse 21. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Matthew 5, 45. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. So he set things in motion for the earth, for the animal life, and for the affairs of men. All general things that he has in place that allow us to exist in the environment that we're in today. Now, that's the world. Everybody gets the benefits and the disadvantages of those things. It's the providence of care, the plan he's put in place, the foresight that he had with an outcome expected. His word gives us the ultimate outcome. And his word tells us as Christians that there's more than just general providential care coming from our Heavenly Father for us as Christians. We'll call that special providence, if you will. It's more specific. Scriptures teach us that there's something special about being one of his children, and that there are special things that await us. Let's go back to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. If we are trying to do what he asks us to do, he commits to us that he will help us through it. He will pick us back up. We're willing to get up, he'll have his hand extended for us to do that. If you don't want to get back up, you're going to stay down. But he's committed to us as his children that if we follow him, he delights in us when we do that, and he's willing to help us get back up when we fall. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Acknowledge him, and he'll direct our paths. He doesn't direct everybody's paths on earth. He doesn't direct general society. But if we follow him, he will help direct our paths. If we're following him, we're using his word to do that, right? And we use his word to guide our lives. He is directing our paths. I'm not talking about some miraculous direction he's giving us, but he's given us a roadmap to follow that if we do, he says he's there to help us, and he will do that. Matthew 6:33, we talked about earlier. I'm not going to read that again right now. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things we talked about would be added to us. Not have to worry about the basics of life. Romans 8:28, my favorite verse in the Bible. I always fall back on this, no matter what's going on. As a Christian, there's so much power and strength in this verse. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. May not be immediately, may not be on our time, may not be while we're alive. We might actually die from something. But that's even good, is it not, if you're a faithful Christian? It doesn't get any better than that. So, and if you have faith and you understand what he's committed to us from a commitment to take care of us, then you understand what I'm saying. The ultimate end, though, is not about taking care of us on this earth. Everybody agree with that? Ultimately, at the end of the day, it's about the spiritual benefit at the end. That was the plan. If you read his from Genesis to Revelation and you understand the plan, we can't get wrapped up around the special things that take care of us while we're on this earth. We are promised by God that no matter what happens, it'll work out, because the ultimate plan is not about the physical, it's about the spiritual. And we can't discount that. That doesn't mean that we're not going to reap material wealth, or not material wealth, but material benefit while we're on this earth from being faithful Christians, because he promises us that as well, that don't try to outgive him, don't try to outdo him, because he will bless his people. Doesn't mean we'll be rich, but it does mean that we will not be in need if we're faithful. He promises us that. Doesn't mean we're not going to have hardships either. We're going to have illness. We're going to get sick. Things are going to happen. But those also, turn to Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. It It says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So, even the things that we're going to have problems, we're going to have things we have to persevere through, but he promises us through his plan, through his foresight, that we will benefit from it. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says we're going to endure hardships. But what will we get from that? Strength. Patience. Somebody say patience. Testing of your faith produces patience when you fall into various trials. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So it will strengthen your faith. As you come through the things that happen to us, it will allow you to be a stronger Christian when you recognize that the special providence that he has offered to his children goes well beyond the natural things that he set in place for everybody else on earth. But we shouldn't presume that all things are the result of special providence. Ecclesiastes 9, some things happen, they just happen, right? Coincidental, we love to say that word. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. How many times have you seen that the best team doesn't always win? Things happen, right? Tortoise and the hare. Who won the race? Wasn't the fastest, was it? Crazy story, but fits the point. When it says the race is not to the swift or the battle to the strong, you've seen people in boxing matches where you knew somebody was going to lose because they were outmatched. But by chance, got one punch in. Nobody ever thought Tyson was going to lose to Buster Douglas. No way. No way. I'm aging myself, but it happened. So things happen sometimes just by chance. And what you think should happen won't always happen. But just because it doesn't mean we should assign it to the fact that there's something special about that God did for us. Too many people give God credit or give him blame for everything that happens in life. And he set things in motion on purpose, and he promised us certain things as his children. Some things happen because of Satan's own activity. 1 Peter talks about Satan going around as a what? Roaring lion, for one reason, seeking whom he may devour. So things are happening because Satan's at work too. Satan is looking for opportunities to damage anybody and everybody. Some things happen to consequences of just evil people. School shootings, right? As sad as they are, that's just evil. And people like, how would God let that happen? Why would God do that? God didn't do that. That's evil, right? There's no evil in God. But he did set things in motion in the earth, or in the world, in our society, where people have free will to do things as they choose. But what's our job as Christians when things like that happen? Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. It's an opportunity. Terrible floods in Kentucky. Terrible things happen with those people. But what can come from that? And we're promised, if we take those opportunities as his children and act on them, they are opportunities that we can do good from that, and things can good can come out of that. Eddie?
I was thinking of Job, his quote, it says, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, and either that horrible bad day where he lost his whole family.
Yeah.
And he was wrong that his tragedy, he said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. It wasn't the Lord that took his kids away, it was Satan. He mistaken tragedy. Apparently, as God's doing, it was really Satan behind the scenes, but God took that, and by Job chapter 42, you see what God was able to do with that tragedy.
Right. Exactly. And our opportunity is the same thing as Christians today. When bad things happen, we have to be able to recognize that there's an opportunity to find something good in it. No matter what, there's a plan. We all, our lives, God knows every hair on our head. And he's promised us that he will take care of us, with the ultimate end being our spiritual well-being should we pass from this earth, or when we pass from this earth. Now, God promises to take care of us with, if we seek him first, we're not going to have to worry about food, clothing, or shelter, right? Does that mean it's just going to show up? We have a responsibility to be able to leverage and take advantage of the things that, I hate to use that word, take advantage, because I don't mean that, but to be able to reap the benefit of the things that God has promised us. We both, Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, our food's not just going to show up on our tables automatically. Model prayer, give us this day our daily bread, part of what we should be praying for all the time. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, some of y'all could quote that. Just throw it out if you want to. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. God's not going to just throw food on our plates. We have responsibility to pray, be thankful, giving thanks for our daily bread, but also to work and earn our daily bread. 1 Timothy 5:8. If anyone does not provide for his own, especially those of his household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So the special promise that God makes his children to be able to take care of us on all the things that we need requires us to do our part as well, no different than our salvation. Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. When he asks us to work out our own salvation, what does that mean? Know the word, follow the word. Doesn't mean do whatever you think, just to... Whatever makes you feel like you're saved, just as long as you feel like you worked it out, you're good, right? That's not what he's talking about. We're all accountable for our own salvation. Brother Clymer can't take care of my salvation, right? I have to do that. I have to work that out myself. And what I have to be willing to figure out, what does God want me to do? He's promised me all the grace in the world. And the world will tell you, as long as you love everybody, grace will cover it all. But that's not what his Bible, that's not what his word says. He tells us what we need to do to be his children. And we got to work it out. You got to want it. Anything you ever wanted bad enough, you're willing to work for. If you had any kind of work ethic at all, if you were raised in a household where if you wanted something, you had to show how bad you wanted it. Anybody in here get an allowance when you were young? I didn't. We were just told to work. Steve didn't get an allowance either. See, I don't know when allowances started, but it was after I was a kid. Because when I was a kid, they just said, you need to go cut the yard. And if you want to go somewhere, then your work chores had to be done, but I'm losing the audience. Banana splits are more important than the providence of God, clearly. No, I'm kidding. I know it's not. It's their night. I'm sorry? Yeah, we probably did give our children allowances, maybe. Kelsey's saying I did. I couldn't remember. I don't know how much it was. We gave our children more than they deserved, I can promise you. And we're paying the price for it. But my point is, it's up to us. We have to do what's required of us. Am I supposed to go till the end since they're doing that early? Is it okay if I keep going? I'm looking at an elder preacher. Okay. Lee gave me nothing but a blank stare. Oh, okay. 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. 10 through 12. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So he's telling us in his word that if we're faithful to him, his eyes are on us, he's listening to us, he knows what we're looking for. The vast majority of the world does not have their eyes on God. They're not seeking him out to solve their problems because they're solving their own. So they are not getting the kind of help that we get as Christians. They're not getting the special providence that he's promised to us to be able to do that. So, yes.
True.
And hey, I got to be careful. Sometimes that line starts way back here and goes forward. Even us in the church sometimes, if we're not careful, our prayer lives only get really strong when we're in trouble. You know, it's easy to fall into when things are going good. You feel like, hey, life's good, I got it under control, and you forget how much we are dependent upon him. So that's a challenge we should all be willing to challenge ourselves with. But Many are quick to interpret what happens as an indication of God's judgment. Something bad happened to me, I must not be living right. Something good happened to me, I must be living righteous. Both of those statements could be totally wrong. We got to be careful that we're not quick to interpret what's going on in our lives as trying to literally say, God wanted this to happen just because it happened. God's in control of the world. He's in control of everything. But everything that happens, it's not our place to determine whether he made that happen or not, because there's no way for you to ultimately know that. We only know what he's revealed to us, and that's what we need to lean on. Good things happen to the wicked, and bad things happen to Christians. Think about, you talked about Job, terrible things happened to him. Joseph, I think the last time I taught I referenced Joseph, he had a lot of bad things happen to him. But Romans 8:28, it all worked out for good, did it not? There was a purpose behind it because he was faithful. He was granted, he had special providential care from God throughout that whole process because he was faithful. He never turned away from God. Prison, all the things that he went through, thrown in the pit, his brothers hated him, he never doubted God. Job, same thing. Terrible things happened, never took his eyes off of God, never wavered in his faith, and Romans 8:28. Our whole lives, if we can stay focused and understand that the end game is spiritual, not physical, then we can we'll reap the same benefits of Romans 8:28. And I have a few more minutes. So what's the best thing we can do? Esther 4:14. Who remembers that story? Esther 4:14. I can't do the whole story because we don't have time, but
you were.
A Let's go back up to 13 and start there, because you're right. Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than in all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Who knows, right? He wasn't saying, "Oh, God's put you here for purpose." You might be. That may be it. But we don't know. Let's just trust God. And that's what we have to have, that same attitude. Whatever, when we pray, we should be praying that God's will be done. Romans 1, 9 and 10. Remain open to the possibility that God's will might be different than what ours is. Oftentimes, probably more times it is than not, but Romans 1, 9 and 10. "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you." He wanted to see him. He wanted to go see there, but as long as it was God's will. And that's the approach we have to take as Christians. In everything, give thanks. I'm moving to the conclusion. I'm just going to go straight to the conclusion. The providence of God truly is a blessing, right? Special providence for us is even better. He's put plenty of things in place to take care of the world, runs its cycles. People come in and out of office. Kings rise and fall. Nations get strong and fall. Those are all natural things that he's put in place to keep the world going. As long as he has the patience that he has for us to continue to work to try to convert people. Because he wishes that everyone would repent. And he's given us time. And it's our time and our job to try to spread his word. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. 1 Peter 3:10 through 12. I want to read that again. "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." If you're not doing that, if you've got distracted, if you're not a member of the church, if you'd like to become a Christian and you are willing to put him on in baptism, willing to turn from your ways, then we will sing a song here in just a second. You have an opportunity to come forward. If you're a Christian and your faith is wavered and you feel like you've fallen into a rut, you need prayers, you need encouragement, whatever it might be, if we can help you tonight, I appreciate your patience and contributions to class, but if we can help you tonight, please come together as we stand and sing the song.